epistle lesson this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to the church in Corinth, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, which is found on page 926 in your pew Bibles. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Here ends the reading of our epistle lesson this morning. May God add God's blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of this holy word through the pen of the Apostle Paul. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock, our redeemer, the one for whom there are no words to describe. Amen. There is a famous quote, which actually isn't a quote, but it has become by legend to be attributed to St. Francis, for whom our current Pope is named. The quote goes like this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Psalm 19 says it this way: there is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. And Paul says it, as we just heard, this way: for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. There are a lot of words in this world. We use them all the time, and sometimes we overuse them. Sometimes, in order to fill the silence, we find words to say. We find chit-chat to share. We find noise to make. We hum and make little tut-tut noises when we're on the phone. Silence is not comfortable for us, and so we often fill it with words. In one of my earliest parishes, I learned about words the hard way. I was attending the death of someone in the community, not a parishioner, but someone very close in our community who was actually a neighbor of mine as well, who lived a couple of houses away from me. I went in and sat there with her and prayed and began to sing a song, which I sometimes do. And then I used some more words, and finally she turned to me and she said, "Would you please be quiet?" Sometimes there are no words. That's what she taught me. Sometimes the only thing that we have is our presence. Not words, not, you know, all of those things that we put out there for people to hear, not any of that, because we're trying to comfort ourselves when we use those words. And she taught me that it was okay to be quiet, to be present. She taught me that words can sometimes be the foolishness of human nature. That what God asks us to do in many, many ways is to be quiet. She actually said something different. She actually said, "Would you please shut up?" But when I share this story, it always sounds so crass. But that's what she said. And because she said it with such strong words, I could hear it. Frederick Buechner talks about words in his book, Wishful Thinking, a Theological ABC, and I think it fits so perfectly into Psalm 19 and 1 Corinthians that we've read. He says, "God never seems to weary of trying to get himself across. Word after word, he tries in search of the right word. When the creation itself doesn't seem to say it right, like we just heard in Psalm 19, the sun and the moon and the stars and all of it, he tries his flesh and blood. He tried saying it to Noah, but Noah was a drinking man. He tried saying it to Abraham, but Abraham was a little too Mesopotamian with all those wives and whiskers. He tried Moses, but Moses himself was trying too hard. Tried David, but David was too pretty for his own good. Toward the end of his rope, God tried saying it to John the Baptist with his locusts and honey and hellfire preaching, and you get the feeling that John might almost have worked. Except that he lacks something small but crucial, like a sense of the ridiculous or a balanced diet. So he tried once more. Jesus, as the mot juste of God, the Word became flesh. John said, of all flesh, this flesh, Messiah, Savior, Shamil, Jesus as Word made flesh means take it or leave it in this life. God finally managed just to say what God is and what man is. Means just as your words have you in them. Your words have you in them. Your breath, your spirit, your power, your hiddenness. So Jesus, the Word made flesh, has God in him." We've all had that experience, right? That I was talking about before, where we're filling the silence, trying to at least sound wise. You know, when we're at a conference or something and somebody asks a question and we're trying to make the wisest answer we can, and sometimes we go on and on and on, Sometimes we can't seem to stop ourselves because we think that there's wisdom, and if we could just keep saying more and more words, we might find it. John Milton was a wonderful crafter of words. John Milton, a poet, lived from 1608 to 1674. Someone who could describe things with beautiful words, things that he saw and things that he felt and things about faith. And yet, when he was about to turn 44 years old, he went completely blind. And he wrote this poem, which is a poem that I actually thought about when I was with my neighbor attending her death. It came as a comfort to me. This is the poem. When I consider how my light is spent, ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent, which is death to hide, lodged with me useless, though my soul more bent to serve therewith my maker and present my true account, lest he returning chide. Doth God exact day labor, light denied? I fondly ask. But patience to prevent that murmur soon replied, God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts, who best bear his mild yoke. They serve him best. His state is kingly. Thousands at his bidding speed and post, or land and ocean without rest. They also serve, who only stand and wait. Present. Is so important in our world. Presence with those who are suffering, presence with those who just cannot find the words because there are no words. There are no words to describe God, and because of that, God had to bring Jesus to us, the incarnation, so that that word would be something we could see and touch and feel. And when we find ourselves searching for words of wisdom, help us to shut up. Amen.